Welcome to Healthy Made Easy with Dr. Drew, a show where you receive cutting-edge tips, tricks, and motivation to change your life. Join us as we debunk what doesn't work and give you truth about the art and science of health transformation. Here's your host, Dr. Drew Brazier.
Welcome, everyone, to episode number 17. I am so excited to have you share this with us. Rod is going to go into his current training, how that's going. We have Mike, the trainer, Taylor here with us. The ins and the outs, the difficulty of going from deathbed to Ironman. Not just any Ironman, but Kona Ironman. The real deal here. And we are going to hear the struggles and how you can relate to that in your life. Whatever it is that may be holding you back or making you think you can't do it. Rod is going to fill us with motivation. There were a couple times during this episode when we recorded this that I got emotional myself. Rod got emotional. We all felt that. When you're around Rod, you truly feel this energy that you cannot mistake. That energy that says, go do it. Don't make any more excuses. There's no room for that. The only option is success. Whatever success may look like, that is the only option. And he lives that and breathes that. Also, we're going to hear from Mike, the trainer Taylor in here, who is the exact same way, a true motivator, but also just full of knowledge and insight and a very powerful person. So we're going to jump into this. I also want to remind you that we have a challenge going on right now. If you do leave a review for this podcast, only takes you less than 5 minutes. If you just go to drdrewbrazier.com/review. Again, that's drdrewbrazier.com/review. Just watch a 3-minute video that I made to help you do the review either on your computer or on your smartphone or device. It's super simple to go in there once you know how to do it. I walk you through it less than 5 minutes, you'll be done. And there are great prizes, including my book that you're going to get for leaving a review and a grand prize for everyone. We've gotten over 20 reviews here this past week coming in from people doing that. We really appreciate it. Many more subscribers. This helps us boost up in the rankings so that more people can see that we are here, that we are changing lives, and that this show does matter to many people. So thank you so much. Again, that's free for you to do, but you definitely are going to get rewarded for doing that. So thank you so much. All right, let's dive in here to Rod without any further ado, and let's get ready to rock and roll. Alrighty, welcome everyone here to the Healthy Made Easy show. I am here with Mike the trainer and Rod. How are you guys doing?
Great, Drew. Great. Thanks for having us.
You bet.
Yeah.
Good to see you again.
Absolutely. It's like this is a weekly occurrence we should have. Gets me motivated.
All right. Let's do it.
Really gets me rocking and rolling. But today we're going to follow up from episodes 13 and 14. So if you have not listened to those two episodes, please do listen as Rod goes in deep and really shares with us his journey of how he got to today. And now we're going to focus in on the training aspect, the ups and the downs, how it's been, what it's going to look like. And I think it's great to hear from Mike as well, his view on it, because this is a very different situation. Rod, you could not just go to any personal trainer, and it's not a knock on personal trainers, but you couldn't just go to any personal trainer and say, hey, you're my guy or gal, help me.
Absolutely not. Not with the deficit I was coming from.
Exactly. And so you needed someone with very high expertise, mm-hmm. Who could not only adapt to that, but also the motivation side of it, mm-hmm. to keep you going, keep you safe, mm-hmm. as well, I think is a huge aspect.
Huge part.
But I hope that those who are listening today can really take away what we're just talking about before we hit record of, You don't need to have everything perfect in your body, right? Some people don't even need their limbs to be able to accomplish what they want to accomplish. The only thing holding us back are our own limitations we put on ourselves,
That's right.
So I hope people see that as you're sharing with us your journey. So tell me just a little bit from you two of how did you two meet first off? How did it kick off this working relationship you have here?
Go ahead, Mike.
Well, I've been, training at our local health club here for over 15 years, And a good friend and colleague of mine, Steve Gardner, had been training Rod for a few months. Mm-hmm. And he came up to me and he said, "Mike, I've got somebody that I think might want to train with you." And at that time, Steve was getting ready to actually leave town. He's moving, found another position somewhere else. And I said, "Well, tell me about him." And he said, "Well, he's kind of different. He's a little bit special and unique. He's coming from a place where a lot of people haven't been before." And he proceeded to tell me that he's had Guillain-Barré syndrome, he's had hip replacement, knee surgeries, and other surgeries that we've talked about before. And I thought, wow, this is going to be an interesting ordeal.
I mean, I could just imagine the look on your face, yeah, knowing you're just sitting there, you're probably looking up like, oh, okay.
Yeah. So, in the back of my mind, I kind of began to entertain the thought. But, you know, at first, all these red flags were going off in my mind thinking, okay, this guy wants to do an Ironman. We've got this obstacle to overcome. But the more Steve told me about him, I thought, you know, he's come this far already. He told me the training that he's accomplished so far, and the deficits that he did have of, you know, just trying to get his cardiorespiratory back in shape so that he could get on a bike and pedal the bike for a little bit, mm-hmm, and then get onto the treadmill and start doing the treadmill. And I thought, if he's come this far so far and he really has this goal, I want to meet him. You know, I had my mind open. And we met, what's it been now, Rod? A couple of months ago. So we've been training for a couple of months now. And even the first couple of weeks into the training, I thought, man, I don't know, this is a long ways to go to get to the Ironman, to do that full distance. But Rod is making huge leaps and bounds. He continues to have personal records weekly, if not daily, on some of the goals and things that we're setting throughout his training plan. So we've got everything lined out now, and I'm super excited to be working with him because he's just proving me wrong all the time as far as showing me that he can do it. And you know what, Mike? I can do more than what you're telling me, and he constantly does that. Yeah. And I have to rein him back in saying, "Rod, now let's not overtrain here. Let's not, you know, we don't want to injure anything." But he's cognizant of that, and he is being very body aware, and he's doing great. And so it's been a real treat thus far to work with Rod. But that's how we came together initially was, you know, he kind of just fell into my lap. It was kind of by chance, if you will, mm-hmm, or meant to be maybe. But sure. I think sure. This journey that we're colliding on together is very unique, very interesting. Where I've been doing endurance sports for quite a few years now, and I've had, you know, my journeys in life and the things that I've learned, I think that us coming together is bringing a unique skill set, a unique background that we're combining, and it's been really awesome so far.
Yeah.
That's an awesome ride.
That's so cool. And and Mike, I want to ask you the question of how do you, you know, because I know Rod, his personality enough to know that he's probably going to push and say, no, let's go harder. And I know you are someone too, who you're like, yeah, I'm going to get the best out of you. But how do you find that fine line between pushing too far? Because if you push too far in this situation, you could have a serious backfire.
Right.
Tell me how. I mean, I know you can't. There's 15 years of experience that leads into that.
Right.
So you can't. I mean, there's a lot of hard work put into that. But just mainly, what are some principles that you're implementing to be able to keep that safe part while pushing him hard?
Right. You know, there is a lot of experience, a lot of know-how to this. There's the physiology and the biomechanics of the body. First of all, you got to have a good background of that, understand how all that works. But then you have to take that physiology side and combine it with the psychology of exercise and sport, and know that those two sometimes, they definitely overlap, and sometimes one will outpower the other. And Drew, you know a lot about that as well, coming from the mental background that you have with mental health, that, you know, the brain is a powerful tool. And sometimes it can overcome the body. And sometimes that's good or bad, depending on how we're training. You know, sometimes we can go further than our body will allow us to.
Yeah.
And then I've trained other people where, you know, their body will allow them to do more, but their brain is shutting them down. They're saying, I can't. They're doing all those negative things that I don't feel good. I don't think I can do this. Well, Rod comes from just the opposite. His brain says he can. And if his brain ever says he can't, I know he just slaps it right in the face and says, I can and I will.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we do walk that fine line, but I keep good track of everything that he's doing. That's why we follow a program. And if we start training a little harder than what we've got written down on paper, we just keep an eye on that. And I get a lot of verbal feedback from Rod, whether he's feeling good, if he feels like he's just exhausted, or if he feels any aches and pains more than a typical workout would be, then we can back it off a little bit. But those are definitely kind of fine lines that it's great to have a personal trainer, a professional in your background to help you through that, and to push where we need to push and then lay back where we need to kind of hold off a little bit. So.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. And I'm sure there is so much knowledge that goes into that. And, you know, and I applaud you for feeling confident in your skill set, because I know there'd probably be a lot of people that would say no and probably should say no.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
But that confidence is awesome. And my question for you, Rod, is like, how did you build that trust in Mike, knowing that he's going to get you ready while keeping you in one piece, right? Not sending you back to the surgeon.
That's right. That's right.
Goal number one.
Right? Mike's reputation preceded him. Mm-hmm. I had gone to Steve Vorkovich, the owner of Apple Athletic, and said, this is a journey I'm on, and these are some of the needs I'm having. And I said, okay, let me talk with our head trainer there, and we'll go ahead and line you up with the appropriate trainer. So it was Steve Gardner that started me on this journey. Mm-hmm. And he started from scratch. I mean, less than scratch. He had to take the ashes and start forming them, you know. But then in that journey also came Moses Kinikini with cardio boxing. Mm-hmm. That was huge. Mm-hmm. And both of them, when they knew that they were going to be departing from the Apple Athletic, both of them pointed to Mike, said, he's the man. Mm-hmm. And on my side, from my perspective, the trust had already been established. If they would have said someone else, you know, okay. But what they were saying and everything they kept saying, it's like, this is the guy. Mm-hmm. And my relationship with Mike is that I trust him 100%, he and Takara. You know, I know he has my best interest at heart. I know he knows my limitations. But here's the thing I love, Drew. I know he also knows I love to soar. Mm-hmm. So he lets me soar, but with guidance.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's awesome. So, you know, if there's someone out there, Rod, who does have circumstances that are unique, or I don't like to call them limitations, because they're not they're not limitations, right? They're obstacles you have to learn to work with. But someone, and really anyone who is trying to find a good personal trainer like that, what is that one or two things that you would suggest they should be looking for in trying to find someone that they can trust 100%, like you were saying, Mike? Because I think that's important. That's important from a psychological perspective, that you trust the person who's going to be pushing you. What are your thoughts there?
I think number one, Drew, that's an excellent question, is to have clarity. Mm-hmm. Clarity in what it is they're wanting to accomplish. I'm not interested in running anything else other than the Ironman. And when Drew said, hey, I'd like you to go and go to two triathlons just to acclimate, it's like, I'm not going to acclimate, I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. I want to test my resolve to see how good I am and where I'm at. And those proved to be fortuitous. Mm-hmm. But so clarity. My clarity has always been complete the Ironman course in my own race at my own pace. And that's important. Second of all, you know, reach out to who you think in the community would be the very best. There was no doubt in my mind that Apple Athletic was just heads over, you know, other companies in town, and we've got some great companies in town, but for the overall journey that I needed, it was more than just a great company. It had to be an incredible company. Mm-hmm. And so find that, identify that company, and then go into that company and say, okay, this is what I have, this is what I need, this is where I'm heading, who can help me? And those that say, you know, I've never had once anybody in Apple just laugh at me and say, really, dude? Yeah, right. Never. Every one of them has stepped up to the plate, especially the trainers, and said, dude, you're coming from some deficits. Well, let's get it done.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. So being able to trust in that and being clear about your intention, yes, and your goals, and looking for someone who's going to let you soar, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Let you unleash, but also does have that knowledge and confidence to say, all right, I'm letting you soar, but also we're going to do it the right way. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, which I think mm-hmm. is awesome. Cool. Well, tell me just a little bit, guys, about your current routine. What does that look like? What is it going to look like leading up to Kona? Just kind of that day-to-day, week-to-week stuff you guys are working on.
Well, so right now, you know, obviously we're focused on the sport of triathletes. So we're swimming, biking, and running. And how do we combine all those together and continue to develop the strength, all the physical aspects, the endurance to do those lengths of time. Mm-hmm. So we're focusing on all that. What I did was I sat down and I combined those three sports together into a program plan for Rod that starts off just kind of one at a time. We focus on a swim for the day, and then the next day we focus on the bike, and then the next day we focus on the run. And we just start off with little bite-sized pieces of each of those components and work on polishing them, getting them stronger, getting them faster. And Rod's been just checking those off each day, and then we add a little bit more and he does it and checks it off again. And every day, you know, because we don't meet every single day, but I've developed a program where Rod does his workout every day, and then he texts me and he takes pictures of his watch that he's got, you know, his Garmin watch, where he's focused on how many miles he did and how much time he did. And every day, by the end of the day, I get a report from Rod of what he accomplished. And also, not only just those physical numbers, but also a kind of percentage outlook of how he felt about it, how well he felt he did accomplishing that goal. Was it 100% or was it 90%, 50%, however that was. And that gives us a good feel for where he's at, not only physically but also mentally, mm-hmm. as far as accomplishing our goals. And from there we're just going to continue to build you know, each block upon the next block, continuing to increase endurance, strengthen physically, and make that time so that we can get it the iron dream in the right amount of time for Rod's course. So super exciting. It's a real treat to work with Rod. With each day we've seen, you know, new accomplishments, new personal records, things that he's never done before. You mentioned, Drew, just a minute ago, that and Rod also talked about this, that I said, well, Rod, if we're going to do an Ironman, let's first see if we can do a sprint distance triathlon. So we're giving him baby steps. And I think Rod, he kind of thought about it, but it was like about 2 seconds he thought about it, and then he was like, let's do it. He just jumped right in. That's awesome. So the very next day, I was showing him the course. We were out there swimming on the course, working on the stroke, working on the bike, showed him the transitions from swimming to biking, and he was just eating that all up. I was just spoon-feeding him little by little, and he just ate it all up, and he did awesome. Yeah. And then I thought, well, let's do this again. So already Rod has done 2 sprint triathlons. Mm-hmm. The second one he placed in his age group.
Yeah, and it wasn't just because there were 3 minimal people, right? Like you said last time, it's because you actually did a really good job.
That's awesome. Yeah, he's been doing great. How do you feel about the training plan so far, Rod?
You know, first of all, I have to say, words really don't have the gratitude and the love that I have for this man. He took 6.5 hours out of his schedule right up in the very beginning. Before he knew what I would do, based on hope and just what others had said, and he put that daily schedule together. Now that's not, we look at it a week at a time. He, at that time, had the vision, the knowledge, and I think probably the inspiration to be able to lay that plan out all the way to April. And you have to understand, that's graduated. That's graduated on based on where my health is, where my body point's acclimating. I mean, I'm still learning some of these things. And so it was pretty insightful. And so, I mean, and then just to see him and Takara, his wife, they're well respected in the triathlon community. And to just see them take me in under their wings and say, hey, let's get this done. And hey, we're going to do a swim down the Snake River. Do you want to come? And I am eating it up. I'm loving it because it's a new rebirth for me. And so I report to him at the end of every day, and sometimes it's not till midnight, right?
That's right. It's long days.
Yeah, it's 10:30 when I'm getting my last run in. Uh-huh. And, you know, I'm reporting to him. And not just because he doesn't expect it, I expect it. Because I know that I need to be accountable to someone that can help me. And Mike is that perfect person. He gives me a thumbs up, or he'll laugh at some of the funny stories of what's happening when I'm training, you know. And it's just that type of communication. So, yeah, I would not rather have anybody else beside me than Mike going into Hawaii.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a pleasure to train Rod, and it's been a lot of fun. Some of the things that he mentions, you know, I've gone to bed like 11, 11:30, and I'm thinking, I haven't got a report from Rod. I wonder what's going on. And then I'm like, he's probably out finishing his run still. And sure enough, when I wake up in the morning, there's a text that came in like at midnight or 1 a.m. showing me his results of what he did. So Rod is a finisher, and that's what's unique about him, and that I think that we can all learn and draw that inspiration from, is learning how to finish things. We all set goals, and we've done this time and time again, where we, you know, a week goes by and we're not doing so great with them. Another week goes by and we're really almost decide and we don't want to do that anymore, that goal. And then another week goes by and we don't even think about it anymore. It's just, it's gone.
That's right.
And then, you know, April or whatever rolls around and we think, I set some New Year's resolutions this year and now I can't remember what they were.
Where were those?
That's right. Let's, you know, let's start over again, I guess. But, you know, the thing is it's never too late to start over. But learning the skills of finishing is what is really important in our lives. And Rod already comes to us with that unique skill set because he's learned it through the trials that he's been through. And so for me as a personal trainer, where I don't have to whip that into people, you know, it's a real treat and it's easy to do, where Rod's already got that. So we're going full speed ahead every day, getting our training.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And a couple things, you know, that I've noted here is that, Rod, you said accountability, right? Yes. I can't overstress the importance of accountability, where it, you know, increases your odds to reach your goals by 40%, right?
Yeah.
By truly being accountable. I've actually seen it being closer to 50-60%, but that's just research, is that 40% range. Mm-hmm. So you're hitting on some absolute truth there, and you're seeing it work for you, right?
Sure.
But you have to be the one. Like you said, it's you expect yourself to be accountable. If Mike is sitting there pushing, be like, why aren't you texting me? This isn't going to work. Like, you have to be the one to say, I am going to let you know. I'm going to report back. And you make that report back versus him asking you every single day, which I think says a lot.
Well, and I think, Drew, sometimes you have to be accountable to yourself. Sometimes when you're going through this journey, I'm still learning a lot about me. Mm-hmm. Some things that I have to be retraining my body to do. And I remember going through a period of time where it's just like, I want to know that I'm mentally tough. So, you know, I got on my bike and took off. And in one day, I biked almost 50 miles. Now, did his plan call for that?
No.
His plan called probably for an hour and a half, which would have been, you know, 15 miles. But that day just set the bar for me. It just removed any limitations that I'd had, any concerns.
That's awesome.
To know that I could do that in one day. Now, I'll need to do it in less than a day. I'll need to do 112 miles. That's the Ironman. But sometimes we have to be accountable to ourselves, and we have to be tough with ourselves mentally to say, see what you're made of. That's how the triathlons. I had not even been off. I think it had been a couple of weeks that I'd been off the treadmill and the stationary bike two times a week, 20 minutes each time, when I went ahead and did this triathlon. And it's just like, Mike, I just want to see if I can finish. I don't care how long it takes. If I'm here till midnight tonight, I just want to see if I've got it in me. Mm-hmm. Well, I wasn't there till midnight.
No.
Thank heavens, right?
No, not even close. Yeah, well, finishing it.
Well, what you're saying too here is, a lot of times we wait for people or circumstances to put us in the fire to see what we're made of.
Yeah.
But what I hear you saying, and I 100% am on board with, is why don't you just put your own self in the fire, right? Put yourself in the fire and see what you're made of. See where you're at. Look at it as data, not as, well, if that fire is pretty hot and it's really hard to deal with, you're not a failure.
No.
It just means, okay, here's some deficits, here's some things I need to work on, and here's what I did well.
Sure.
If we avoid putting ourselves in the fire, we are avoiding where we ought to be focusing, right?
Right.
That's where it should be is, you know what, this is going to be hard, this is going to be tough, but I'm going to put myself in it intentionally to see where I need to go back to Mike and say, hey, here's where I need to work on.
Sure.
And Mike might be like, dude, don't do that again.
He hasn't done that yet. Probably close.
No. I think you bring up a great point, both of you, though, that throwing ourselves into the fire, and I think that's where the love of endurance training and sports and athleticism comes from. A lot of people will ask me, like, Mike, why do you run so far? What on earth would drive you to do that? And it's exactly that, just to see how far I can go. That's human nature, I think, is to see how far we can go, see how far we can push ourselves. And with this new goal that Rod has of his iron dream, I think that's the next level, is Rod wants to see what he can really do, mm-hmm. what he can really put himself to do. And you know, and I think by doing that, other people are inspired. People can say, hey, I want to do that too. I think that I can do more than what I've been doing. And I'm here to tell you guys and everybody listening that you can. You can mm-hmm. do more than you think
Absolutely.
You can.
Absolutely.
And Rod said that time and time again. We put our own limitations on ourselves. And endurance training is all about breaking through those limitations and finding the new you, finding the better you, and enjoying a fuller, richer life with unlimitless expectations.
I agree 100%. I am exuberant. And I use that word carefully about the idea of doing a 100-mile bike ride without stopping. I'm excited about that. I look forward to that. Now, is it going to be easy? No. Do I expect it to be easy? Absolutely not. It's the Iron Man, not the little pansy wansy.
That's right.
You know? Right. And so yeah, I'm excited. Sorry, that probably might not have been appropriate, but it's kind of
no.
that mentality.
You're good. I've said worse things on here.
Either you rise to your greatness or you succumb and surrender to mediocrity. And when we can put ourselves in that position, you know, to be looking forward to 100 miles, you know, is that huge? No. I'll tell you what's huge. What's huge is swimming 2.4 miles, getting out of the ocean, biking 112, and then going ahead and running a full Boston Marathon, 26.2. That's where I'm headed. But my next step is a 100-mile bike ride without stopping and knowing how to fuel up, maintain, and recover. I'm excited.
Yeah. Well, and that's, you know, there's so many people who are probably listening to this thinking, well, yeah, you can put yourself in the fire. You can push yourself. Because there's something different about your genes, maybe, Rod, or
no.
something like that. but you know, that's why I expressed in the first two episodes with you of like an ordinary guy doing extraordinary things.
That's right.
Right.
Definitely.
And any of us can do that. But you're hitting on something that's important. It's learning how to do it. You know, I'm running a 100-mile race this Friday in the Wasatch Mountains. And I guarantee you there's going to be a percentage of people. Well, there's always a big percentage of people who drop out. I've been there before, and it sucks. But there's going to be a percentage who drop out because their nutrition is poor, mm-hmm. because they don't know how to fuel up,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're hitting on something huge there of going out and just saying, well, yeah, anybody can go ride 100 miles. Anyone can build up to that. But they have to know certain things like this. And when you learn each of these components of what you need to focus on, then it feels more real. It feels obtainable, right? Learning nutrition, for example, that's going to be a huge part for you.
Sure, absolutely. Already has been.
Yes. Yeah. And I work with people that come from, you know, the couch to 5K plan that I've designed for mm-hmm. people where they think, yeah, they're not on the level where Rod's at. I'm not going to go run an Ironman, but they want to try and do something.
Yeah.
And they have that self-doubt.
Yeah.
But it just takes a friend, somebody to help instill yep. that, you know, the self-worth and the efficacy that they can do it.
Mm-hmm.
Show them that they can do it just step by step. And they can. And then after they accomplish that, then they say, hey, I did it. I think I can do this again. Or maybe I can do a little bit more. And that's what Rod is showing us all, is that, yes, you can do it. And you don't have to be limited by your own perceived limitations.
Yeah. And you had made the statement, if I can just really quickly, you went from ordinary to extraordinary. Maybe the thought that keeps coming to my mind is not so much ordinary to extraordinary, but, you know, if you're out and you're swimming in water and all of a sudden you get a leg cramp and you go under, are you just going to go, okay, I just got a leg cramp, I'm going under, this is it? Are you going to fight for air? And you know what? Here's the reality of it. The harder you fight for that next breath that's going to be one that continues the rest of your life, the more you'll appreciate every breath thereafter. So from sitting in a bed, sitting paralyzed, not even know if I'm going to make it, it is a blessing. It's truly a blessing to me every day to be getting out and to be doing these exercises. And it's not that I'm extraordinary. It's just that I'm not going down. You know, I choose to fight really hard for that next breath. So that, and I have, my journey's been that. It's something I've had to develop, like you've said. But, you know, that's part of that mental toughness too. I don't want to allude to anybody out there that you're not of the capacity to do this by a previous statement I made. I think anybody can do it. But where it really takes fortitude is, like Mike said, you know, where's the walk with the talk and getting it done? And when the tough gets going, or when the going gets tough, the tough get going.
Yeah.
And so it's that opportunity that is, I think, a lot of our relationship, of just that mental toughness and that expectation.
Yeah.
I know that if I'm slacking off, Mike's going to say, hey, you know, what do you think about this? In his own genial, congenial way.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to put him in that position.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, and that's, you know, that's part of having the right support people around you. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the big messages you have, too, of your dream team of, you know, putting the people who want you to succeed around you. And we all can do that, right? Sometimes we approach it wrong in the sense of we preach to other people and tell them what they need to do and stuff like that. That's not going to build your support system, but it's finding the people who you know that you can be honest with, who have your best intention. And again, that increases your chance of success by 4 times, right? Just by having a positive support system around you. And I think that's a big thing. But, you know, I really love what you guys are talking about here. And I just want to hear, as we get close to wrapping up here, here in a few minutes, I want you to tell us about kind of your official launch on September 23rd. I want us to hear about that. But I do want to hear, like, what is one of the hardest things or hardest obstacles to work with? And what is the solution that you two have found together and you're training together? What would that one really difficult obstacle be? Putting you on the spot.
Yeah, that's a good question.
You know, can I go first on that?
Yeah, you go ahead.
I don't see any obstacles yet. I'll let you know when we get there.
That's awesome.
Honestly the truth. Because even Mike had me start a new form of workout, FitWall, so it could work on my core. And I'm still, you know, I'll tell my body to do something and won't do it. It's going back to when I was first coming out of the paralysis, where you're sending all of those, you know, those synapses down saying, hey, do this. And my body's going, but how do you do that? But those aren't challenges. I look forward to coming back and telling my body to do it again the next week. So I don't know. What's your take on all that, Mike?
Yeah, you know, I was kind of drawing a blank, too, as far as obstacles go. They're just the little daily things of, you know, getting up and getting it done. And I think sometimes that is the biggest obstacle for a lot of us,
yeah,
is just showing up, you know, getting out of bed and doing the things that you say you're going to do can oftentimes be the biggest obstacle. That it doesn't seem like it should be hard, but it is sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so, but that comes right around back to what we were talking about with our support networks, our group of people. Rod knows that every day I'm thinking about him and what he's doing, and I'm expecting him to return and report.
Right.
And I know every day that Rod's wondering, probably, I wonder what Mike did today for his exercise. And so, you know, having people around you to support you and to get you through those little times where you're like, I'd rather just lay in bed today.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I think I can do this tomorrow. I can do better tomorrow. Take advantage of the opportunities that are set before you. Don't put them off till later and just do them now. So I think the little things can become big obstacles,
mm-hmm.
But if you tackle them as they come, like we've been doing, We haven't had huge obstacles yet. Not to say that we won't have some.
No, you know, we'll let you know when they happen.
Yeah. Well, no, I think this is great because I think you're hitting on a principle that I like to teach to my students and clients. And that is they're not even necessarily obstacles. If we're trying to look at life through the eyes of a scientist, they're indicators. It's all data. So this may be difficult. Doesn't necessarily mean it has to be an obstacle.
No.
Instead, it can just mean, look, this is an indicator that I need to shift my training this way, or I need to shift it this way, or I need to get better at this, or I need to accentuate the positive and the strength that I already have there.
Sure.
Everything is data. Everything is an indicator of something. Right.
Could even be classified as a stepping stone.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes. Right. Absolutely. If we take that indicator the right way, it is going to be a stepping stone.
Sure.
Right. So I think that's awesome. I'm glad I asked that question because it's a very important principle that can change a lot of lives. And you're a living example of that. Well, before we do wrap up today, I want you to tell everyone a little bit of what's going on September 23rd. And knowing a lot of people who are not listening to this, I mean, a lot of people who are listening to this, if they're not listening, what the heck? But everyone who is listening to this doesn't live here in the area, so keeping that in mind. But anyone who does live, you know, within 100 miles, I'd even say 150 miles, really, really do listen up to this of what's going on September the 23rd. Tell us about that.
September 23rd, we are having the official launch of the Iron Dream Team. Concept. And so we've been putting this team together now for the last six to eight months. And just each team member's come on in their own right and their own specific role. And so we finally are at that time where we are going to go ahead and introduce the Iron Dream Team to the world. And I say that figuratively because this is now the story's gone across the world. And so what we're going to be doing is offering a free event to the public as our way of saying thank you for all that you're doing. And it will be at Hillcrest High School on September 23rd. That's a Saturday at 6 o'clock. We're pulling the Iron Dream Team together at 4 because many of them have not met each other. And so we're going to have a social for them. And then at 6 o'clock, we'll be going into the auditorium where I'll be officially introducing the Iron Dream Team and their role in getting me to Hawaii. And then one of the Iron Dream Team members, Larry Gilowitz, whose life, the story, Forever Strong, is that movie's made about, he will then address, I'll introduce him, he'll talk to the audience for for half an hour or so, and then we're going to watch Forever Strong together. And I have to say, you know, not just from my perspective, but even from Larry's comments, this is going to be a once in a lifetime opportunity to bring such a dynamic, huge group together that literally could change your life. What people can expect out of this is not only just to walk away being touched and changed, but they can also walk away expecting the fact that they're going to have a lot of the elements, a lot of the mindsets in place to start their own journey and to start building their own dream team. It's the Iron Dream Team because it's the Iron Man for me. But what about the dance dream team, the finance dream team? What about the triathlon dream team? You know, whatever their goals are, we're going to let them take a look at that. Channel 8 will be there to capture this. I'm sure it will go national. And so we just want to invite everybody out. If you're a coach listening to this, bring your teams. You know, they're going to benefit. This is the winningest coach in all of the history of rugby. Over 26 seasons, he took, I think it was 18 national championships and then placed champion, you know, second or third in the rest of those. And so,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's going to be super cool. And so anybody who can or who lives in the area, whether you can or can't, you need to make it happen and be there. I think we should do some behind-the-scenes stuff as well, some behind-the-scenes video to get a bigger view because we'll see what we see on the news station, but also I think we should talk about some stuff there. But
I would love to. Going to be super awesome.
Yes. And I just want to thank both of you for being here, taking the time to come together. I know that you are both very busy with everything, but as we do wrap up today, are there any last parting words, 30 seconds of advice that you want to give before we do wrap up today, either of you?
True.
Well, you know, I don't know. 30 seconds, it's hard to...
I'll give you 35.
Yeah, it's hard to put everything together.
25 now, come on, Mike.
The takeaway here, basically, is you know, live your dream. Dream the dreams, as Rod has shown us. Write it down, find a friend to help you achieve that, and get after it each day, one day at a time. It's not going to happen, you know, overnight, but if you write it down and you keep with it, it's going to happen. So make it happen.
Yeah. The thought that I would have is, you know, today is what we call the present. And I think it's God's present to each of us. Tomorrow is the future. Yesterday is the past. But today's the present. And so what I want to encourage people to do is to think about living life with passion, and going after it, and realizing that that's what we're all about. That's what God wants us to have, too. Is that life lived with passion, and that any circumstance that they have is just a blessing that is helping them to be able to get to the point of living that life with passion. I'll close on this thought, that it is far more difficult to live a life of mediocrity and all the stresses that go with that, all the health, mental and physical health challenges that go with that type of stress, than it is to rise, go after those dreams, and live a life full of passion and exuberance, and where you're just actually excited every day just to have that chance. Like I said, you've been held underwater, and now it's time to breathe the fresh air regardless of where you're at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, that's beautiful. Nothing more I can add on to that. Mm-hmm. I'll just shut my mouth and say that is a wrap for today. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and please do take advantage of the present we've been giving in the present moment while preparing for the future to conquer the future. And thank you both for your examples and what you do with that. So long for now. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining.
Thank you for tuning in to another Cutting Edge episode with Dr. Drew. Please make sure to get your free downloadable. Remember, you are the answer you're looking for.